Welcome to Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests bring you insightful conversations to awaken consciousness for soul growth. Come journey with us through astrology's energetic cycles and get ready to understand your path in the cosmic roots of the stars.
Aloha from Hawaii. I'm Sue Rose Minahan, and I'm so glad to greet you today on the 28th of April, 2024. And we have this wonderful panel, Kaleidoscope Visions, with our transit and a volunteer, and once again talking about Jupiter and Uranus, how shattering this might be in a collective moment to enter the worlds that we've been yearning for, that deep in our hearts we want to spread our roots and find that strength that we can move forward. I believe the cosmos is a friendly place. There's always that issue. I heard a talk recently which repeated what Einstein said. You either can think or feel or believe, whatever, choose your motive, that the universe is friendly and supports us. He didn't add the supports us, but by friendly, it would support us, or else the universe is against us. Ah, the fates. Well, fate, we have free will. And that's where, when it comes to Uranus and Jupiter, the sky explodes. The thunderbolts is, well, together they move mountains. And sometimes that's tricky because we hold fast. We have our roots deep inside the earth and they don't want to move a little bit. But move they do, because we know that we need better water or whatever. I mean, I could go on with analogies. I love to do that, don't I? However, we have a mission. And that is to get our panelists here and our theme, which will be about this Uranus that spins on its side and goes backwards. It's not just for good reason that we choose to think that it breaks the patterns. And Jupiter, of the huge dimension that it is. So together they speak. And now we're ready for Kaleidoscope Visions to speak. We are now ready for Kaleidoscope
Associating Visions. Current astrology transits to a real-life natal chart transit reading through the understanding of the sky's cosmic consciousness for navigating free will options, this is your Kaleidoscope Visions panel.
I am Sue Rose Minahan, founder of Talk Cosmos since 2018, an evolutionary astrologer and student of vibrational astrology, a consultant, workshop facilitator, lecture speaker, writer, Dwarf Planet University graduate, charter member of Kepler Astrology Toastmaster Club, hold an AA degree and Associate of Fine Arts Music degree and Certificate of Fine Arts in Jazz. I'm an artist, musician, mythologist, and pursue esoteric philosophies.
I'm Amanda Pierce. I'm a soul-centered astrologer, blending intuition into my practice. I believe the universe is always working for our highest good and seek to empower my clients in our readings. I teach a 4-week series of empowerment-based meditation classes that connect you deeper into your own intuition and innate power. I work in communications with a passion for employee experience. I also have a BA in psychology. I'm passionate about healing and enjoy helping others create new realities and shift old paradigms.
And I am John Chenworth, an astrologer from Seattle, Washington. I grew up in southern Arizona and was so obsessed with mythology that I concretely imprinted the Greco-Roman pantheon into my psyche. I still see those gods and goddesses infused into everything around me. My experiences of working with developmentally disabled and resource students for many years as both teacher and mentor has given me a strong compassion for others and has seasoned me with an exceptional reconciling energy. I have more than 18 years experience reading natal charts and continue to enhance consulting techniques by attending workshops and conferences. I use a unique blend of evolutionary, archetypal, and traditional astrological methods to look for themes in the birth chart for us to explore. I also enjoy penning poems and exploring Washington State on road trips.
And like the Sufi poet Rumi says,
you are the entire ocean in a drop.
Well, hello, Amanda and John. It's so good.
Hello.
Nice to see you both again. Be back here with you.
I like our plants. We're sort of toggling each other.
So we all have green in our backgrounds.
Yes, yes, we do. That's right. Growth. That's the color of growth. Yes, just like a little plant.
I have plants, but they're not behind me. They're to the right of me. You just can't see them.
We'll need some hanging plants.
There we go.
Very good. Well, isn't this amazing? Perhaps we should bring on the slides. We could chat, but they will help focus us. John Chinworth, for our audience, can be reached at skypathastro.com. And Amanda Pierce has a site, but her best contact is at amandamoonastrology@gmail.com. And you can always go back to these slides or go to Talk Cosmos. We have all the panelists there, the seventh season, which we're in, and both of them are there in living technicolor with all the info. And of course, Talk Cosmos is at both YouTube, and I have a website, and you can sign up for the newsletter and good stuff. Let's begin. Jupiter and Uranus is good. They're meeting at late Taurus. You know, it's a long cycle. I didn't add that one. It's like over 600 years that they keep meeting and meeting, and they go backwards. They start at like 29 degrees, and they go down to zero. But this time, they're kind of ending their long passageway, but it's at 21 degrees and 47 minutes of Taurus. Want to comment? Go ahead.
When I think of Jupiter and Uranus, I get the idea of growth through liberation, Jupiter expanding, wanting to grow, and of course, Uranus trying to free us all and come up with new ideas and surprise us. These are also the two sky gods, one replacing the other. Uranus, literally the heavens, and then Jupiter, god of the sky. So sky is very strong today. Grounding in Taurus, the earth. That's kind of like bringing the sky to the earth.
Yes, it reminds me of looking at the sunset over the ocean, because I've lived near the ocean many times, and the sun's just melting in, and it's just shocking, because then you realize we're spinning that quickly. But I realize in this whole, you know, Taurian conjunction that we're focusing on, that's where the sky meets, you know, the sky meets. Anyway, Amanda,
I love that image, Sue. Jupiter brings like this ebullient, buoyant, positive energy, and it's like this champagne bubble energy, and it's meeting up with Uranus, which is progressive and wants us to move forward and cut back on anything that is not, that's in the way of that forward progress. So when you combine these two, there's a lot of potential for growth and change, and the potential to do it in a really positive way where you're happy about what you're letting go. And a lot of times with Uranus, you know, there is a lot of anxiety and fear that can come in with these transits, because they're things that we don't necessarily want to give up, but we need to evolve. And with Jupiter here, it brings a lot more positivity and a lot more ease in that growth, or the potential for it, at least.
I really enjoy hearing that, because I know for myself, I toggle between, yes, of course, go. Oh dear, what now? It's the two of them until you find, you know, it's a process of, like they say, unpeeling or building. And that here again, here are some, because it is Jupiter that is a 12-year cycle. Uranus is an 84-year cycle, and they meet every 13, 14 years. And as this just signifies exactly what both of you have said, that Jupiter's growth, potential, and Uranus is a great awakener. You know, it breaks the cycle. It rotates on its side in reverse. And then Taurus is all up. Go ahead.
Uranus is, so for thousands of years, we had Saturn. That was the end of our known local universe. So Saturn was the end all, the tradition. Don't ever break with it. Then suddenly this weird planet showed up in the 1700s, Uranus, which upset the perfect astrological apple cart. And we find out later that it's the only, it has a Greek name. They give it a Greek name. Its moons are named for Shakespearean characters rather than Roman gods and goddesses or characters. And it's on its side, rolling like a bowling ball. That's why you always see its rings going like this. It's just this weird planet that doesn't match all the others.
No, and it spins backwards. Venus is the only one that spins backwards.
Right.
And interestingly, Venus is ruling Taurus, because Venus, as we know, and this is astrological chat, but for those, has two signs, because we only have so many planets, and that's how it goes, as a quick answer to it. But Taurus is that second sign, that archetype of survival. You know, the energy has come in, and now it wants to root. It wants to survive. It wants to be self-reliant. It uses its resources, and that can be your talents. It can be what's at hand. And it's fixed. It's stable. You know, it's very sturdy.
And we've been going through this period of Uranus and Taurus for quite a while now. And so there's been a lot of, it's come up for a lot of people where we're waking up to what we really value in life and ways that we can honor our bodies more or honor like the feminine and the yin. These are all very Taurus qualities. And with Jupiter now arising and connecting with Uranus, we're in the last third of Uranus's journey through Taurus. And so we've been going through this period where all of these things are coming up for us about what we need to let go of. And Jupiter coming in helps kind of like give us that positivity and that push to make those shifts in a bigger, grander way.
I like this. It's like if you want to do something bold, there's a little step you can make. And it's great to know, as I had said in the beginning, the universe is supporting us. So let's see what the Sabian symbol says. And this is more of a different angle, the spiritualist medium, 1925, Elsie Wheeler, and an astrologer, Mark Edmund Jones, worked together. And this is a essence for every degree. And it's always, there's patterns, but generally always it's one above, it's rounded off to the next number. So it's 22 degrees Taurus. And there it is for those people that want to see it in the chart. Of course, this is a 0 degree ascendant. The timing is would be a little different. But so the Sabian symbol 22, and I'll just read the top part and then John, you can speak. And this is coming from Linda Hill, who's from Australia, who's one of the very acknowledged persons who interpret these. And she slightly changed the original one, adding straight and fearlessly. A white dove flying straight and fearlessly over troubled waters. John, what would you have to say?
I think of the song always, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, the Simon and Garfunkel song. So escape, a brief solace or interludes. You want to get a rise above a little bit and leap a little bit, see what's going on below you, and maybe to get your bearings a little bit. I was also thinking with Uranus and Taurus, Uranus might not like being in Taurus because it kind of cramps its style. But with Jupiter with that, it expands a little bit and gives Uranus maybe a little breathing area to try it out, to ground a little bit and the surprising things it wants to do, to take a little breather, kind of like this dove flying over the waters.
Yeah.
See what this is about. We can try this out. Does that make sense?
And it makes it, to me, it instantly tells me that really it's changing our perspective. It's going outside the box. In other words, Uranus doesn't need to plant its feet in the ground. It just needs to send things to the earth that can put their feet on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, you know, and Jupiter throws the thunderbolts, which mythologically, that's what Uranus is. And so therefore it brings in the rain, the thunders, you know, and it sprouts up seeds and all of that. And Linda here, I love what you said, by the way, but she says it's transcending worry through spiritual awareness. And so it's these messages. But the negative is, just on the verse, is like not to get caught up in that worry. So as we're looking for our encouragement, to have some faith and just do the next step, I guess. Yeah.
Well, and that energy of like troubled waters, that can feel a lot like Uranus trying to strip things away from us. And that's a, you know, not a comfortable place. And sometimes it's an area where we don't want to go into because we don't want the pain that's associated with that. So this white dove flying over it, it's like that positivity of Jupiter allowing us to kind of move past it and let it go and not have it be such a painful experience. And so that just being in a more positive mindset, doing whatever you can to think positively, to kind of lean into that.
And trust.
Yeah.
That could be the big word with this transit, trust.
Yeah, it may not
be. These weird energies coming together. You're just going to have one Taurus. We're just going to have to see what this can be.
And it may not be exactly what we thought before. I think that's what I'm remembering is that, yes, I have a memory and it serves me to go forward. But on the other hand, it can limit you. It's that deconditioning. And that's really what going into Aquarius, you know, we have Pluto, anyway, we're going to, let's see what else is happening.
Trust that it will work out in the end. And it may not, like what you're just saying, it may not look exactly how you want it to, which is a very Taurus energy. You know, Taurus wants things to be exactly as it likes.
Steed said.
Yes.
It's a marigold. It's going to be a marigold, not part pansy.
Yeah. But it may not turn out that way, but it's going to be what it needs to be. And it'll work out for you in the end.
Because we do shapeshift. You know, that is another thing. I just heard Jason Hawley, I have to repeat and hear it. And he was talking about Jupiter. Jupiter is a shapeshifter. I mean, it is in mythology. Here we have, during that conjunction that we're using as a transit, 9 hours later, Venus conjunct with Chiron. And I don't want to go huge into it, but to bring the focus that this is one of the elements happening, that this is for working with how to understand an emotional trauma and wound or that it represents. We all have these. This is part of our human nature. And that we can grow from them and it can build our healing wisdom. So this is because Venus is also, to remind people, the archetype that is ruling this change within Taurus. So healing is part of it, just as we've said, wants us to move forward.
Chiron is the great mentor of mythology. Being with Venus, this is the love of mentorship. This is a time where you can mentor others and others can mentor you. So be open to that. And also, what are the things that the new ideas that Uranus is bringing in that you're trying to mentor for yourself or for others?
So we have friends.
A nice group of planets talking to each other in a nice way.
Oh, it's great. Just as we are helping, we trust. Here it is, the chart that we're speaking of. I tried to show that there's these groups of planets. That's part of the energy. And not to talk, we're going to try to talk more generally, like our interpretation. So go ahead and speak. I think what would be one of them? Go ahead, Amanda,
So there's one thing I wanted to mention is that Venus, the ruler of that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, is in the same placement as the sun and moon were in the April 8th solar eclipse. So this is like bringing that energy in or highlighting that energy a bit, where it's like this new seed period of how do I be authentic with myself and do this Aries energy, this authentic me energy correctly and in a more responsible, mature way. So bringing that in, I love it with Chiron there too. I mean, there's such a healing aspect to this and Jupiter and Uranus being in Taurus, Taurus is, like we said, it's a yin energy. And so it's all about like, how are you feeling and your self-worth and what are your values? And Venus and Chiron here, it's Aries, which is a very yang energy. And it's like, how do I put that out then into the world? And how do I express that? And how do I be myself authentically while holding on to these true values and moving forward, moving more into what you value and more into your own self-worth. And I just think it's a really beautiful energy here.
Mm. Can I speak to that?
Yes, and then we're going to move on.
Mm-hmm. That group of planets in Pisces, you got Mars, Saturn, and Neptune. Mars, you know, yay, Pisces, what's it going to do? So maybe that's a good thing. And it's like shielded by those two planets. So these other planets can speak a little more loudly. So Venus can be more loving and Mars just gets the planet.
Well, I think it is a spiritual. I'm going to jump here and then we're going to go into Shannon's charts. Okay. Sure. So, and I appreciate all of this because to myself, this is a spiritual growth for action. And by spiritual, I mean using that partnership with life that we're not always, yes, we're the captain of our soul. We have free will, but yet life gives us support. And if we look at how can we get benefit, just like we're, there's tools, there's signs, there's ways ahead. It's not just how we are. So I think this is really great. As you say, these collections are together to, because together this, anyway, I don't want to talk too much astrology. So this is good. These are the highlights for people to look at, those that have the YouTube later. And we're going to go into Shannon's before the break. We have about 9 minutes or seven. And also with the bi-wheel. Her chart is on September 26th, 1975. This is for our podcast people. At 444, I love all those four numbers. Oh, my goodness. Real stable, rooted, master type thinking. In Vancouver, Canada. The rising is at 6 degrees Virgo. The sun is at 2 degrees Libra. And it's trine the moon with Ceres. The moon is at 9 degrees Gemini, which is right where Aldebaran, the fixed star, is. So, not talking too much astrology, but trying to, let's look at, there's two T-squares that I think we can show where the energy is toggling between. One is Venus, which is ruling this particular transit, but for her purpose, it's ruling her thoughts, you know, the thinking communication part. Anyway, and trying to be innovative. And then also the other one was Saturn. That's also T-squaring. Oh, I know what I was thinking.
Venus square the nodes.
Right. And it is. The south node is in Taurus. And we will know with the next one that this conjunction is right on top of it. But generally, if we can give a little bit of an overview about what the dynamics of this person's interest. I mean, I see her as a great communicator that it could be healing and really changing her thoughts and willing to change. And working to be original and true to herself and maybe struggling with what her conditioning has been, how to really make her thoughts, there's some healing there in actions, but because maybe her purpose is deeper and more in a community.
Yeah, in a T-square, it's those three planets. They're like just the three corners of a square and the other side's missing. So I always like to look where that other leg is. And with either one, they're fifth and sixth houses. So like creativity and having regimens in place could be ways to help add balance to these T-squares. On the other hand, T-squares are really great because they're great motivators. The T-square people take action. They just know that they need to do certain things. And with Saturn in the lead and Venus in the lead, you have the option of just doing the Saturn march through, get it done, or the Venus loving, I'm going to do this community. You know what I mean? See what I'm getting at? It's interesting having those two T-squares because with those leading planets, they're kind of opposite.
Yes, Amanda.
Yeah, I see a lot of depth in this chart. Someone that likes to go deep, that's Sun-Pluto conjunction, and especially in relationships. And then someone who really has a focus on healing with that Jupiter-Chiron conjunction. And there is, with a North Node in Scorpio, there is that desire to keep going deep, but with a Taurus South Node, sometimes that's not super comfortable. So with that
case in point, it's the comfort zone. Yeah. Any of us that has Taurus, which I think you and I share, it's like we can fall into like, this works. I've worked for this. It's comfortable. Let's stay here. But life wants our soul to move and grow. Let's see what the bi-wheel is. We have a few minutes before the half hour. So we have the inner chart is Shannon's, that's September 26, 1975. And then we have the one that was on April 21st. And I want to mention, too, that when Chiron and Venus conjunct in 9 hours later, the moon has shifted from 29 degrees to Libra, 1 degree Libra. So it's interesting with that. It's almost right on her moon. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think the big transit here is that Jupiter Uranus right on her south node. So this is a period of deep release for her and really positive stuff that can be released at this moment. Stuff that's holding back from moving forward through that north node. And of course, that's going to bring up any of the Venus things that, so relationship stuff, anything where you are maybe have like a discomfort from being in the spotlight at all. I'm thinking of that because Venus is in Leo. So anything around that or around your creativity, Venus is about creativity and Leo is as well. So those are the things that I see coming up.
Yes. And I think if I will add that with Pluto, and I know this is jargon, but Pluto moving in her fifth house, changing, she's probably been experiencing a great deal of change with that Saturnian archetype. However, now it's like how to break loose, really, and be and rise and be, as you had said, John, that is the house that's vacant, that's looking for how I shining.
Pluto opposite Saturn, looking at what are the deep roots of these walls that I've built, you know? How deep do they go and how can I transform them? How are they holding me back? How can I make them more adaptable? I mean, that sounds kind of weird, but Pluto and Saturn together, like Pluto undermines and Saturn being structures, like what's the setup of these walls that I have?
Yeah, and transplanting, that's what I think of. You know, transplanting.
Transplant, transformation, all those Pluto words.
Yeah. The good news is, too, I mean, there's so much support here because both suns are being, her eagle, herself, is being connected with by the moon, by her emotional basis. So there's like unity here for her to go forward in these different paths. And yeah, it's really strong. Amanda, do you have a thought? And then we'll take a break.
Yeah, and just about that Saturn in Leo, I mean, Saturn is, it's all about mastery. And so whatever sign we have our Saturn in, it's something that we're learning how to master. And Saturn in Leo is not a sign, already not a sign that Saturn's comfortable in. So this can be growth around how you shine in the world and being visible to others. You know, with a lot of Scorpio energy, sometimes, it's just a little more comfortable to not be as visible to others and to just kind of be behind the scenes.
Yeah. One last comment. See the green there, folks, with the Chiron and the Venus that are conjuncting, and she's soon going to have her own Chiron return because hers is in Aries. So this is a natural energy for her, as we were saying, is how to take action. And it might be in that eighth house, which can be sharing your resources with others, but it's also the occult, it's the mystical, it's the, we'll find out. Shannon will join us after the half hour break, which we're just going to take now. This is Kaleidoscope Visions on April 28th with Amanda Pierce and John Chinworth and myself, Sue Rose Minahan. Thank you. We will be back with breakthroughs and blessings, or brothers all together. Okay, thank you. While we take a break from this week's edition of Talk Cosmos, let's take a look at this cycle's archetype. We're currently in the period of Taurus. By leaving a cycle based upon initiation, the energy of Taurus integrates spirit into a solid form of matter that is tangible and physical. It's an earth sign, concerned with self-sufficiency and the values to maintain the strength of a life form throughout its survival.
Hi, This is Martha Norwalk, every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m. Thanks in part to Jude Potten at the Whispering Dragon Center in Shoreline, we cover the world of animals. This week, May 5th, it's Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check in with Meow Cat Rescue, Help Animals India, and animals24-7.org with Beth and Merritt Clifton. Plus, we'll talk with the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Talk Cosmos brings insightful conversations to awaken consciousness for the soul growth with hour-long programs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific on KKNW. Talk Cosmos weekly programs are also available to watch live on the Talk Cosmos YouTube channel and Facebook page. While you're there, make sure you click the like and subscribe buttons so you get the full Talk Cosmos experience. Or if you'd rather listen to the show archives with audio only, the entire podcast collection since 2018 is available on most podcast carriers. And to find out about upcoming programs, sign up for the newsletter at talkcosmos.com. So grab your coffee, tea, or kombucha and enjoy the show.
There's a reason they invented the internet. It's called 1150kknw.com.
Oh, okay. I had to unmute. Sorry about that. We're taking just a brief moment, always at the half hour, to let you know what our panelists are doing and myself. John Chinworth, again, is a consultant, and he can be reached at skypathastro.com. He was on last week with a panel about the Chiron return for the United States, and you can check in on him. And we're going to do it again on July 19th, I think it is, because it's potent and it's working, and that's with other astrologers. So go to Talk Cosmos YouTube channel and you can find out about that and subscribe, of course, and you'll find out more. Amanda Pierce is also a consultant, amandamoonastrology@gmail.com. And she also teaches these wonderful meditation courses. I've taken them myself. And it's quite a process of working with your inner growth process. And she is certified and completely a counselor on that terms. So contact her if you want to find out more about that. And for myself, I have a blog that I've begun for about 2 months now every week. And this one is also about our subject, but it's really about Mesopotamia and the age of Taurus, how it relates. I'm also on a new podcast with Liz Mouchette, who will be on next week with Archetypal Symbols. But this is her YouTube channel, and she has various guests, and I'm once a month on her Astrology Star Sisters, and you can find that at my Talk Cosmos YouTube channel, and it's on the playlist videos featuring me, Sue Rose Minahan. So thank you for your interest. It's not real long, and they're very inclusive with good information. So here's a little GR, am I saying that right, Nate, code that you can
QR.
I had it reversed. Thank you. All right. And our newsletter sign up page. So thank you so much. Did either of you have comments before we about your classes or subjects?
Not at this time. Thanks for thanks for the good feedback, and reach out if anyone's interested.
Well, let's get Shannon on. She's going to join us by audio from Canada.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much.
Oh, welcome.
Welcome.
Really glad to have you. And I know you're a little under the weather, so we really appreciate it and your energy. First off, anything you have to say that would give feedback or support along with your questions, we're all yours.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I am very green with all of this. It's so much information to take in all at once. So I do understand the basics of things, but I was really quite mind blown with a lot of your interpretations of what the alignments are and what I might be experiencing is 100% dead on. So I'm a very spiritual and deep, deep, deep person. Absolutely. I do teach and am a psychic and all of that jazz. So I'm expanding into working with more people and doing markets that are more in alignment with bringing communities and stuff together. So this is completely new to me. It's out of that comfort zone, if you will. And it's interesting that one side where it's blank, and to me, I keep hearing like this is a blank slate that I get to play with. And just where whatever's coming up for me that seems to be challenging is the opportunity to transplant, right? So anything fearful or worry, like learn how to transmute that and come up with a creative new thing to do. So it's like a blank slate. So it's really quite interesting. And the energies that I'm feeling lately too is that there are huge shifts taking place, but I don't see where those are actually taking me, which is also very uncomfortable.
You've said a great deal, and I appreciate it in every respect. And being a what did I do? I went to the last one. Darn, I want to go back to the chart. Come on, Sue. There we are. You know, looking to new communities, is it partly not those communities, but you? How are you wondering how you are going to, in these shifts that you're sensing, how are you going to be your deep root self? How are you going to actualize? I guess that's the question. Yeah. And how are you going to act? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, this is what I'm discovering, that I need to work more with the things that bring me joy, which is all about being creative. But lately it feels like I've been in the dark with that. Not quite sure how to implement that or make that happen. So I have been guided to reach out and connect with other like-minded and hearted people that share the same kind of visions and dreams, and trying to just literally stumble our way through this to find what works that everybody can benefit from, because this world needs a lot more happiness than and yeah. We're all experiencing. So I would like to be able to provide a little bit of that, not only for myself, but for everybody around me.
I think John has something to say, but I also want to know what your dream is. Like, what is it that you're like? I realize that you've spoken of teaching and psychic and expanding to new markets and communities, and I love the idea that you're playing, and you have been just as astrologically, this power of transmutation, another word I love, is moving through that area of play and work.
Can I ask a question? I'm wondering if you have experience with mentoring women.
I currently am mentoring two women. Yes.
Your natal chart, this strikes me as so interesting, so I have to bring it up. All your goddesses are paired up. So in the natal chart, Venus is with Juno, the moon is with Ceres, and Vesta and Pallas are together. And I think that's so remarkable.
Ah, wow.
And that does mean Vesta is your home, your hearth. Ceres is taking people from their grief and helping people learn how to nurture themselves from grief or through grief.
Right.
And Pallas, did you mention Pallas too?
Yeah, Pallas is with Vesta. So Pallas is strategy.
That's wisdom strategy of how to do this. So you have the tools and the support, you could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so ultimately my purpose, one of the bigger purposes, I guess, is to help people find their light and how to master themselves, as I am trying to do my best with myself. Yeah. I was never on a spiritual path until I had a great awakening in 2011. I had later, a few years later after the awakening, realized that it was a full-blown Kundalini rising. Literally overnight, my life did a 180. And I was opened up to the spirit world and tapped in, but didn't have a clue what that was. It took quite a few years to get it all figured out and change a lot of things, unlearn a lot of things, and relearn the truth. But I could only find that truth within myself, not outside.
How often do you find out a time to meditate or to, do you have a place you can go to meditate?
Oh, every day I meditate. Absolutely. I do it in my home. I've got two, I've got a healing room and a reading room, and then my living room. I run my business out of my home since my son moved out over a year and a half ago. And I also hold drum circles once a week where people come. So yeah, it's a very sacred space in my place.
Then I have, and I know Amanda has some thoughts here, but I'm going to suggest two things and then she can jump from there, building from what John has aptly suggested and remembering. Because with that north node, that's your destiny. That's of like leaving the area of perhaps the philosophy of things, being comfortable with how you're building that, is moving into exactly what you do, mentoring, but teaching and also speaking. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking as a lecturer, as a speaker, that's its own world. And of course, there's also one-to-one, but in this day and age, like what we're doing, it's online, and there's a great deal to learn about that process. But it can be with groups, because that Saturn is with groups, and it is a matter of connecting as a master in those areas. I can't remember what the second idea was, but
Interesting, because I've had a few opportunities as of late to come onto podcasts,
which there you is go.
out of my comfort zone as well. Although while I'm in it, even though I might be nervous, I'm actually super excited about it all. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I don't want to. Okay, and if you do that, I imagine you have a website, but bring up events and put down your calendar. Let people know. Get onto the social media and share it. Mm-hmm. I know that it's hard to have all these hats. I'm working on it myself, but it builds. It builds.
Well, I do have platforms out there. Social media, Web in Essence Enterprises is my business, and there's lots of information, events, everything gets posted there, as well as on my webinessence.ca is the website. Yeah.
So thank you. Yeah, I'm talking to a master. That's good. Right.
Yeah, but there's always room for expansion, right? There's no
podcast is, I think, a very valuable part. Who knows? You might yourself choose to have your own and on YouTube, but gaining that audience. You can never have enough emails. Anyway, I applaud that. Amanda.
Yeah, well, and Shannon, I love how you really leaned into the positive with going on the podcast. You know, it's like you focused on that and the excitement of it instead of the fear, because this is Uranus is kind of like a tornado just like whipping around. And here at your south node, it's going to put a lot of focus on things that are ready to be released. And whatever fears you have around kind of moving forward and that visibility, just that being as positive as you can. And also Uranus or Taurus, specifically your south node in Taurus. Taurus is a very grounded energy, and Uranus coming in touching your south node here may feel a bit ungrounded. So just focusing on grounding yourself, being in your body as much as possible during this time to kind of allow whatever emotions to come up so that they can be released, so that you can then just like keep moving forward. And like that dove flying over the troubled waters, you're just in this period of great expansion, and it's like a roller coaster where things are moving for you. And as much as you can stay in that excitement of it and lessen the fear, it's really going to serve you, and it's going to catapult you into areas that you didn't know were possible for yourself.
Well, and it's really a good thing that I'm an eternal optimist.
Yes, it is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I will say that, yes, that transmutation, it's all in fixed signs. And so it does take a bit to maybe put enough emotional water into it to let it kind of break away and shift.
And also, like, the you spoke about your the Kundalini rising, and that's I'm really seeing that with your Venus in the 12th house. Whenever you have planets in the 12th house, sometimes they're obscured and their energy is hard to come out. It's hard to come out. And so this Kundalini kind of like forced you to get into that spiritual energy. The 12th house is the spiritual. And Leo, it's it is creativity. It's also leadership. And so becoming like that spiritual leader, this is part of that journey that it looks like you're on. And with a square to the nodes, this is often an area that you have to work through and move through before you can have a full flow from the south node to the north node and have you really be on your journey on that north node. So with Venus here, square the nodes, the resolution node in this case would be the south node. And that south node in Taurus. So with Uranus and Jupiter here, it's a really positive thing that they're starting to like.
I'm going to
move it forward even more.
But recap in lay terms and repeat what I think we began with, and that is that you were mentioning that it's a matter of release, and that means the comfort zone. It means a sense of exactly that, and being fixed on what has been established so far, because you can shine and one doesn't have to be left. It's a toggle between the two, but it's this reevaluating, because being on a podcast, to me, I'm trying to figure out how to say this, but the sun's in the first house, you know, with Leo, with it's going to the sun. You can do this. There's no doubt about it.
It's also about letting go of like any self-worth issues that have held you back. You know, it's like, because Taurus is about how do we value ourselves? And so anything, it's like, oh, why me? Just little old me. I can't do that. Well, yeah, you can. And this is like Uranus is like, boom in your face. Okay, here, we're going to show you that you can do this.
Mm-hmm. And conditioning, what may have been conditioned.
Yeah. John? Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
And so much healing energy here too, with that Chiron is in a trine to your Venus as well. So it's, and a trine is like a very smooth flow of energy, constant flow of energy. It's an easy flow, and it's, that Chiron is being hit up by Venus as well here. So it's all really kind of working together. And Venus is considered a benefic or another positive planet. Venus and Jupiter are the two benefics. Mm-hmm. So this is all really working positively in your chart for you.
And, you know, actually, Chiron return. Chiron is the wounded healer. It's a huge part of mythology. It's a 50 years and a half approximately transit, and it's like a rites of passage. We all experience it once we approach or have passed it, and there is a reckoning. There's something about every lifetime that comes to grips with what has deeply wounded their soul, which is each person. It just seems to be part of the seed that we're born with. To recognize it, it's not alone. You gain from that experience, and you can share it. So it empowers you more and more.
Awesome.
Did you get a wound lately? Did somebody hurt you lately? Did you feel betrayed?
So yeah. there's been a couple of things. Well, in the last few months that have happened. So that's bringing up some old wounds. You know, resentment and betrayal. But also rejection. Rejection is a big one.
Totally. And I ask this for a couple of reasons. One is illness in my book always, it's like you get hit under the belt with something that comes in emotionally, and you're just unguarded and you get ill. And with the fact that you have Pluto close to your sun, which is the lord of growth, soul growth, and trust and betrayal, and those areas that one it's the phoenix that rises above and understands them, but yet still experience. And this north node, it's very possible. So really, this could be used as, which is, I'm sure you're thinking of it this way. I'm not trying to be preaching, to use as recent ammunition for yourself or fodder to gain some whatever perspective or tools how to incorporate. Because we don't always go past our wounds, but yet there is another perspective. You know, it has sorrow. It can have sorrow. It can have these issues.
Oh, for sure. I'm a strong believer. Nothing is as it seems. There is always so much more deeper beneath the surface. Absolutely. And whatever I'm currently going through, like what I caught, it literally hit me hard last night. Like, and it seems like out of nowhere. Yeah. So, and it has been a challenging last couple of weeks. So now that this is happening, I know that there is when my body starts going through the physical shifts, it's like letting me know that there's shifts taking place different levels.
South node Taurus, that's the body. I remember we mentioned that in the beginning, and I was trying to think, you viscerally experience, purge these things, and it's like, wow. Whether it's a volcano getting rid of it or somehow silt through the rivers of everything.
Mm-hmm. It fits very much as well with Uranus on the south node, especially you've got the south node in Taurus, north node in Scorpio, and that axis does have a lot to do with betrayal. And so for you to be going through a betrayal with Uranus on your south node, it's like here it is. This is meant to be seen. And now you get to either let go of this person or correct the way that you orient to them. Maybe protect yourself a little bit better. And so now you know, you have greater awareness.
Yeah. And I'm thinking ninth house is I'm sorry, John. I know you, I was going to say, John, speak. So here I'm jumping
quiet.
In. Yeah, you have been. And I know you have much to say, but I'm thinking it's the belief systems because, yes, go ahead. It's the value systems with the beliefs that need to get shed. Somebody maybe from the raising, the conditioning, the father. Go ahead, John.
Interesting. You just said that about father. Ceres, transiting Ceres, is down there by Pluto, and it will approach Pluto and will be opposite Saturn. So I wonder if that's a little bit of a timepiece in Ceres as this goddess of loss and healing and searching for missing things and ultimately healing. That's an interesting thing to me.
There's always that sense of, I know what it is. Betrayal sometimes is on my terms. I mean, it's always on my terms. I'm feeling betrayed. So I have to go into what was betrayed and was that true? Especially if it comes to family or people that were very close to me on my inner circle, because why else would I feel betrayed? I trusted them. They were close to me. And then I have to realize, wait a minute, maybe my evaluation of them or what they served me, their role to me, was inaccurate. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't always change my affection. I mean, the trust part, but it does help me pass through it that I realize that, you know what?
Yeah, I've had to do that shift of perspective on a few different occasions. So I totally understand what you're saying there. And yeah, that's probably the same thing that's coming up now.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Shannon. I'm not trying to say goodbye this moment, but I look at the clock and we have about 2 minutes and there'll be music, but we can talk through it. But I didn't know how to finish, you know, because we can talk about details, but looking at the big picture, which we all enjoy here and you do too, it seems, that really it represents, going back to what we spoke of, freedom and expansive nature, individual, but it is these experiences, these actions, just to remind ourselves, that recreates, that's what I'm thinking, a perspective and belief system. And it's not just ourself, but with Chiron, we want to be part of our community and unite growth. So I love your idea of a podcast and and mentoring John and Amanda.
We have I love that. I love the Venus in Leo as a mentoring piece. That's beautiful and a great expression.
I love that you have your own space where you can always recenter, meditate, and reconnect. I think that's a very beautiful thing to have.
I love that you do drumming. That's such a great way to be in the body. It's fantastic.
Powerful medicine, that is. Absolutely. Thank you all so much. This was really quite an honor.
Healing is upward and inward.
Thank you.
And blessings to all ahead and within.
Thank you for joining an insightful conversation on Talk Cosmos, the show where Sue Rose Minahan and her panel of guests awaken consciousness by connecting soul growth patterns with astrology's energetic cycles. Be sure to tune in next Sunday, 1 p.m. Pacific time, to continue your journey through the roots of the cosmic pathway.